You know, one of the things that I really enjoy doing in summer is to sit on my front porch. I've got a nice big front porch, one of the old style porches where everybody would kind of walk by. Well, we get out a glass of wine and maybe some friends stop by. And we sit on the porch, and as darkness comes, the fireflies come as well. Or maybe they were there all the time. I'm not so sure about that. Anyway, fireflies are wondrous, and our guest today has written a book about them called Silent Sparks, The Wondrous World of Fireflies. Her name is Sarah Lewis. She is a professor of evolutionary and behavioral ecology at Tufts University. So it's really going to be a lot of fun to talk with her. There are so many things that I learned about fireflies. I'm amazed at this amazing or these amazing creatures. And I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. What experiences do you remember from fireflies, maybe when you were a kid or even now? I tell you what, everybody, or most everybody in this state, I think, has a memory of one sort or another with fireflies. You may have some questions about these beetles, and I hope you'll join in with us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. And Sarah Lewis, thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Larry, thanks so much for having me on the show.
You know, I looked at this book and I saw the cover and I thought, well, this book could go two ways. This book could be a very technical book that is written in more scientific language, or it could go the other way. And I'm pleased to find out that you have a delightful romp through the life of fireflies.
Well, that's great. Which was the other way that it could go, though?
Well, the other way was a way that would not probably find a lot of interest among the general public.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, when I've been working on fireflies for about 30 years now, and I've traveled all over the world, and I've had a lot of students, and I've written a lot of scientific papers, and I've read a lot of scientific papers. And one of the things that that I knew going into this project was that we've learned so much cool stuff about fireflies in the past 30 years. And it's not just my work. There's a whole international group of firefly researchers, and we've learned so many things about their biology, about their evolution, about their conservation. And it's really, really exciting for us. And then about 5 years ago, I was thinking, and I began to, you know, when I talk to my friends and neighbors, when I talk to people that I sit next to on airplanes, I realized that even though everybody loves fireflies, I've never met a single person who doesn't love fireflies, right?
Right.
Everybody loves them, but these creatures remain shrouded in mystery for almost everybody, for their most ardent admirers. And I thought, wow, this is crazy. You know, here we know so much about them and what's going on. And it didn't take me long to figure out that everything that we knew about them had been written up in the scientific literature and reported in this kind of impenetrable technical jargon. And it was also, a lot of the papers are also behind publishers' paywalls, and this just didn't seem right to me. You know, here, so many people are interested in fireflies, and this knowledge isn't available. So that's really kind of what set me up on this mission, to try to translate firefly science into plain English so that everybody who loves fireflies could learn about them.
Someone said to me, I wonder what inspires a person to devote a significant portion of their career and life to a single topic. And, I had a great story about how you've got interested in them and why you developed your research.
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't always work on fireflies, and in fact, I work on a few other things too.
Sure.
But fireflies are, you know, they are one creature that really beautifully illustrates the creative process of evolution. So they've been, it's really clear how they've been shaped by both sexual selection, which is the struggle for reproductive opportunity, and natural selection, the struggle for survival. And so they're a really, they're a very, very interesting group to work on because their communication signals are very visible. And you can really eavesdrop on the courtship interactions of fireflies. So they're a great species.
Well, Michelle in Ashland has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. When I heard you were talking about fireflies, I couldn't help but think of a love story of my mom and dad from 70 years ago.
Let's hear it.
So when they were teenagers, they were out on one of their first little get-togethers, dates, and my dad took the glow from a firefly and rubbed it on her finger.
Oh.
And said, "This is the first ring that I will give you."
That's so sweet.
Wow.
So on their 60th wedding anniversary, we filled the hall with little jars of fireflies.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, what a wonderful... You got me choked up here. Michelle.
Yeah. That's a really great story.
So we've always felt when we see fireflies, we always think of love.
Thank you so much for calling. Well,
that's awesome. They are very romantic. And, you know, they create a romantic atmosphere, and all their flashing is about romance, too. So it's a perfectly appropriate first ring.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that, Michelle. I really appreciate it. You can join in, too, with your experience or a question about fireflies at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. You know what?
Go ahead. Sorry, I just wanted to mention that one of the things that I have been trying to do is, that was a wonderful story from Michelle, and I've been trying to collect people's firefly stories because there's so many magical stories that people have from all over the world about their interactions with fireflies. And I just wanted to mention that if people would like to share their stories with other listeners and other people, it would be, they can check out my website, which is silentsparks, all one word, .com, and there is a place there for them to share their stories. And I'd really, I would love it if people would, you know, just write in a couple of lines with stories like that.
Silentsparks.com, and I believe we have a link on our Facebook page.
Great.
I think that's right. We'll have that. In case you didn't get that, just go to our Facebook page. You can click and go to a link right there. So what are... I was kind of surprised to learn exactly what fireflies are.
Yeah, you know, they're called lightning bugs in so many places and fireflies in other places, and everybody thinks that they're bugs or flies, but in fact, fireflies are beetles. So they belong to a group of insects that have one pair of wings that's modified into a hard covering, the sort of... the covering, like on the back of a ladybird beetle, also called ladybugs, but really beetles, that protects the more delicate flight wings. And that's what makes
them beetles.
Beetles.
Yeah. And there are, here's the other thing, that one of the other things that really surprised me, the number of species.
Yeah, many people think, you know, just like you, you know, you're sitting out on your front porch and you're enjoying a beer or a glass of wine or a glass of lemonade, and, you know, suddenly your yard or the street is full of fireflies, and you go out later at night, it's 10 o'clock, and you think, oh, wow, the fireflies are still out. So unless you were to capture a firefly and hold it in your hand and look at it pretty carefully, you might not realize that there in North America, in the U.S., there's about 200 different species of firefly. And around the world, there's 2,000 different species of firefly. So there's a lot of different, they've diverged into a lot of different kinds of courtship styles and a lot of different geographic regions. So fireflies in Europe are really different from the fireflies in the U.S., are really different from the fireflies in Central America, Southeast Asia, et cetera.
Yeah, and as you say, they're almost all completely over the world.
Yeah, yeah. 2,000 species worldwide. It's pretty impressive diversity.
And they glow for the reason of finding a mate?
So, you know, in those 2,000 species, there's a lot of different ways that...
some don't glow at all.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways of finding mate for fireflies. So we're most familiar with the lightning bug fireflies, which both males and females give off very quick, bright flashes, hence the name lightning, to attract their mates. And there are other fireflies, as you mentioned, like the dark fireflies, that they're called dark fireflies because once they've turned into adults, they don't light up at all. So they instead attract their mates using, the females emit a kind of perfume, a pheromone that they give off, and the males are attracted to that chemical signal that wafts through the air. There's a third kind of firefly that's called the glowworm firefly, where the females can't fly at all. They don't have any wings when they become adults. And so those females, like the common European glowworm, found throughout Northern Europe, it's the major kind of firefly that's found there. The common European glowworm, the females climb up onto a perch in the vegetation every night, and they glow for hours to attract their males are flying, but don't light up at all. And they swing their lantern back and forth for hours trying to attract a male. So there's a lot of different lifestyles in the firefly romance world.
Margaret in Fox Cities, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
When I first moved to my house, there were a lot of fireflies in my backyard, but perhaps because of my neighbor's spring or whatever, there are very few now. And even though I haven't put any chemicals on my lawn for 25 years, I'm wondering what kinds of plants or whatever might encourage them.
Mm. How to attract fireflies?
Yeah, great question. So this is something that a lot of people, I think, would like to know about. And one of the big culprits for the decline in fireflies that people around the world have seen is the loss of habitat, but you're saying that you still have your backyard. And so another pesticides are definitely a problem for fireflies. Many people put pesticides on their lawn or in their gardens to kill things like Japanese beetles, and as I just mentioned, fireflies are beetles. Anything that's going to, a broad-spectrum pesticide that kills different kinds of beetles is also going to kill fireflies. I should mention that firefly juveniles, so the juvenile stage of fireflies, lives underground. And
so there we've got the contact. You know what? Hold that thought for just a second, Sarah. Sarah Lewis, our guest today, we need to take a quick look at the news and weather, and then she'll be back with us, and she'll be with us right up till 12:30. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Who doesn't love watching fireflies? They are truly amazing creatures, and we're talking about them today with Sarah Lewis. Sarah's book is Silent Sparks, The Wondrous World of Fireflies, a new book just recently out. And I tell you, it's a wonderfully written book. And we're having a lot of fun talking and learning about fireflies with her. If you have a question or comment or maybe an experience to share with fireflies, we had a great one earlier. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Sarah, as we were taking a break, Margaret from Fox Cities had wondered about attracting fireflies. You were talking a little bit about pesticides and the fact that juvenile fireflies actually live in the ground.
Yeah, we were just talking about baby fireflies, and a lot of people are surprised to hear that they don't always spend their lives in the air. So fireflies that we see flying around in the summertime are really just the tip of the firefly iceberg. They spend 2 years in a juvenile stage living underground, looking like little tiny grubs. You probably wouldn't recognize them even if you saw them. And they eat earthworms and other soft-bodied things that they encounter.
And they're good eaters, too, apparently.
They really are. They're actually very, very, they're carnivorous and very gluttonous. And so firefly larvae are out there in your lawn and in the woods and underground, and they're voracious carnivores. So one of the things that you can do to encourage fireflies in your neighborhood is, first of all, don't use pesticides. Any pesticides that you apply to your lawn that would kill Japanese beetles or other kinds of pests are also going to kill fireflies, unfortunately. Using something like BT or a targeted pesticide is a much, much better idea. And another thing that you can do to encourage fireflies is to leave around a little bit of leaf litter and, you know, maybe some rotting woods, rotting logs, rotting wood. Many fireflies actually spend their teenage years in decaying logs and in and under decaying logs. So it's a really good idea to leave a bit of leaf litter around the edges of your yard. Another thing you can do is keep some area of your yard in a little bit higher grass. There's fireflies in every single life stage, from the egg to the juvenile stage called the larva, to the intermediate metamorphosis stage called the pupa, to the adults. They really need moisture. And so you've probably noticed that fireflies often are more abundant right after rainfall.
Yep.
And, so at every stage, they really need moisture. And so if you can leave the grass a little bit longer, it will hold moisture better. It won't dry out as much in the summertime. And you're more likely to, you'll increase firefly survival in your yard.
Very cool. And thanks again, Margaret, for that question. Let's turn to Eric in Kenosha. Eric, hi, thanks for calling.
Hey, it's an amazing topic, and like everybody else, I think fireflies are pretty magical. I'm a chemist, and I wanted to kind of bring up something really that we probably wouldn't talk about normally, is that the chemistry that causes the flicker, the flame, the light in a firefly is actually very interesting. It's kind of the precursor to the things that we use today in our glow sticks, you know, the ones that you snap and you might wear and have glow around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing what we've learned. I mean, there aren't a whole lot of chemical reactions that produce light. So it's pretty cool, and I just wanted to throw that out there that, you know, in addition to all the other things that make fireflies special, that we've got this one thing that at least I, from a professional standpoint, find really interesting.
Thanks, Eric. And you really discussed this in your book, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. This is really, really an interesting topic. And one of the chapters in the book is called The Making of a Flasher, and it talks about the chemistry of light production. And it is indeed a very, very interesting chemical reaction that produces the light. So there's fireflies have evolved an enzyme that generically is called luciferase. And for all of the different fireflies, every single firefly species can light up in its juvenile stage. Not all the adults can, but all the juveniles can. And every firefly has the same, pretty much the same luciferase, only a couple of differences in the DNA sequence. And that enzyme, luciferase, interacts with a much, much smaller molecule called luciferin. And in the presence of oxygen and one more tiny molecule called ATP, which is the energy currency of all living things, it produces light. And the lightning bug fireflies have probably managed to harness this light to the greatest extent, because they can produce these very, very quick flashes that they can turn on and off very precisely. And by controlling their flashes, they have been able to evolve species-specific flash patterns that enable them to tell their own species from another species. So the lightning bug fireflies that you have in Wisconsin, for example, there's probably about 40 or 50 different species that have differences in the flash patterns that the males emit while they're flying around. And females who are down on the ground recognize the males of their own species by watching the flash timing.
That's so amazing. You know, Ken on Facebook had asked, and I haven't brought this up yet, but wondered if you'd talk about the synchronous fireflies of the Smoky Mountains, and you've got a wonderful chapter on that.
Yeah. The synchronous, so in a chapter called Lifestyles of the Stars, I do talk about the experience that I had in the Smoky Mountains just a few years back. And would it be all right if I read from that?
Sure, please do.
Okay. So this is a phenomenon. Actually, it's going on right now. It's usually the end of May or the first week of June. And this particular species of firefly, it's called Photinus carolinus, occurs in the in the Smokies, the Southern Appalachians in general, and they put on a display that attracts a lot of people. In fact, it's called the Smokies Light Show, and so I got a chance to see this about a couple of years ago, and so here is I've tried to capture the experience. It wasn't until the forest was completely dark that we saw the first flash. A few moments later, a dozen male fireflies took flight around us, broadcasting their typical mating call. Six rapid bursts of light, followed by 6 seconds of total darkness. Then, suddenly, the forest came alive with flying sparks, and thousands of male fireflies were flashing together in lockstep synchrony. Together, they flared out their six precisely timed flashes, and then all ceased at once. Darkness rushed in like a shade drawn over my eyes. And all the scientific descriptions that I'd read left me totally unprepared for the transcendental thrill of this rhythmic, pulsating display. Alone in the silence, save for a synchronous symphony played by a thousand fireflies, I felt like I'd fallen out of time.
Oh. That's a wonderful piece.
It really is like that. And if you have a chance to travel to the Smokies to see the display, I highly recommend it. It's an amazing experience.
Thousands? You said 30,000 people or something?
Yeah, a lot. The National Park Service keeps records of how many visitors they have during that time. But, about 30,000 people go to the Smokies just to see the synchronous fireflies there every year.
It's just absolutely amazing. Jackie in Sun Prairie, thanks for calling.
Hi there. I was listening to you earlier, in your first little bit before the news, and was reminded of a poem that I'd written years ago about fireflies, which have always been one of my favorite things ever. I think I wait for 4th of July more for the fireflies than the fireworks. Mm. So here's the poem, if you don't mind reading it.
Sure.
On the way home after the fireworks, we were groggy with night, and Mom yelled out, "It's raining fireflies." Awake, we see the stars streak by the car windows, mini meteor showers sweeping, and I lose my breath, gasping at the silent sparks.
Nice. Wow, we're convergent. I love that. Yeah, thank you so much. One of the things that I remark on in the book is the contrast between, you know, the noise. We love fireworks. I love fireworks. I'm sure you love fireworks. Everybody loves fireworks. The noise of the 4th of July fireworks with the, you know, beautiful displays, and then the silent fireworks of fireflies. It's just such a contrast. It's really magical.
Thank you, Jackie. Thanks so much. Marcia in Racine has something for us. Hi, Marcia.
Hi. Yes, what an interesting topic. And I just wanted to share an experience I had a number of years ago. It was in the mid-90s when I moved into a home in Waukesha, and the entire backyard, it was about 7 acres, we moved in the summertime, and it was all alfalfa growing in this backyard, and we had a deck on the second floor. And that first night after, you know, hauling in all the boxes, and you know how you're kind of exhausted, and we just were sitting up there having a cocktail, and oh my God, that entire field just came alive with fireflies. I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands were out there, but it was just, it was just a magical experience I'll never forget. And, you know, I've always loved them. I think they're amazing. But to see them in, you know, that huge quantity in such a big space and lighting
up the night. Sounds terrific. What a welcome home.
Yeah. Experience. At that point, I bet you were thinking, man, am I glad we moved here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great story. Thank you so much, Marcia, for calling. I want to give Amanda a chance to join in, too. Amanda in Madison, hello.
Hello. I have been a bug lover since a very young girl, and this topic just instantly captured my interest. About 10 years ago, I student taught in Jamaica, and I spent most of my time comparing and contrasting where I was from with these young students in grades kindergarten through fifth grade. And they were always amazed by what Wisconsin had to offer. And then in turn, at one point, this young boy approached me and showed me a Jamaican firefly, and they are gigantic. I was awestruck by them. That was the first time I learned they were a beetle, because this is really a glowing beetle. It's like a glowing Christmas light bulb in your hand. It was just this incredible experience, and it was so much. I missed that almost the most from being in Jamaica was the lightning bugs they have to offer you in the Caribbean.
Yeah. You know, in the Caribbean, in Central and South America, is sort of the center of firefly biodiversity, and so there are a lot of different species of firefly there. In Jamaica, they also have another luminescent beetle that's not actually a firefly. It's a related family, the quick beetles, and they have much harder exoskeletons and very, very bright lights. And they also have two different colors of bioluminescence, because they have two slightly different forms of the light-producing enzyme in two different light organs. And so those click beetles are really, really neat in Jamaica.
Thanks, Amanda. Thanks for calling. Oh, let's go to Lewis in Manitouish Waters. Hi, Lewis.
Hi. Hey. My question is, I live in Manitouish Waters, and years ago there used to be numerous fireflies in the evening over the channel between Island and Spider Lake, and today there are hardly any. Is there a decline in the fireflies in that area?
I know that area very, very well. What about it, Sarah?
Well, you know, it's I hear stories like yours from all over the world. We don't have accurate numbers. It's not like a Christmas bird count where people, you know, regularly go out and count fireflies every summer, although maybe that's a good idea. We only have anecdotal reports like yours, but people all over the world have noticed that firefly populations, they go up and they go down, but over, you know, years and decades, everyone is noticing that firefly populations seem to be blinking out. As I mentioned, one of the main culprits for this is habitat loss. The marshes, the meadows, the mangroves that fireflies need to survive
are giving way to development, to suburban sprawl, to shrimp farms, to oil palm plantations. And so that's a big factor. Another factor is light pollution. So we need light at night in order to be able to see where we're going, but we shed a lot of stray light out into our environment from porch lights, from street lights, from lights at public places that are, you know, sometimes left on all night even though there aren't any people there. So light pollution is serious for a lot of nocturnal creatures, a serious problem for lots of creatures, but especially a problem for fireflies because the stray light obscures the signals that they use to find their mates. And then I mentioned pesticides and areas, you know, as we enter the Anthropocene and our rainfall patterns shift and the climate changes, there are going to be areas where fireflies are abundant now that just are too dry, that get to be too dry. And so fireflies will be disappearing from some areas and probably becoming more abundant in other areas where that might be getting higher rainfall.
Mm. Thanks a lot for calling, Lewis. And Nancy in Valders, your turn. Hi, thanks
Hello.
For calling.
Hi, Larry. I have a very cute anecdote. One 4th of July, we were watching the fireworks from our driveway, and our little 3-year-old niece was with us. My husband caught a firefly that was in the tall grasses nearby and showed it to her, and she said, "Uncle David, is that a bug with a light in it?" He said, "Well, what do you think?" She said, "That's a bug with a light in it." It's been a family anecdote for all these years.
So cute.
Oh, it's a cute story, Nancy. Thank you very much. A bug with a light in it.
One of the things that is so magical about fireflies is exactly that you know, we spend a lot of time these days, especially kids, very wrapped up in our digital devices. You know, I work on a college campus, and so I see 18 to 22-year-olds walking around all day long with their eyes glued to their cell phone screens, and they're not really noticing the things that are happening around them. And so fireflies are a gift to every one of us. They offer us the gift of wonder in a way that everybody, all ages, from, you know, that 3-year-old in the driveway to a 99-year-old person seeing fireflies for the umpteenth time, they offer every one of us a way to reconnect to the magic of the natural world. That's one thing that's really special about them.
Absolutely. Jeff emailed in to say that he grew up in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, and Wauwatosa means firefly in the Potawatomi language.
Cool.
Yeah, very, very, very cool. Well, your book is just absolutely, it's an amazing book, and you're such a good writer. I really enjoyed reading through it. Is there, can you put your finger on one or two of just the most amazing things about fireflies? And what, we haven't talked very much, a little bit about mating, but what in your mind really sort of stands out the most?
So, I guess one of the things that's most spectacular to me about fireflies is that these beautiful displays that we admire, you know, the 7 acres seen from your deck all lighting up with fireflies, all of these spectacular luminous displays are basically the silent love songs of male fireflies. They are flying around and flashing their hearts out. And I think that's extremely romantic.
I do, too. I think that's very, very cool.
Another thing I wanted to mention is that in terms of, I really hope that your readers enjoy reading, your listeners enjoy reading the book as much as I enjoyed writing it. It was really, really fun to be able to translate, you know, the sometimes technical, often dry science into plain English and then into something that would be that would be enjoyable to read. But I also was very, very lucky to work with a number of extremely talented photographers. And these are mostly amateur photographers who just have a passion for taking beautiful images of fireflies. And
amazing shots.
They were kind enough to let me use their photographs in the book. And I also feature those photographs on the website, silentsparks.com. So that's one of the things that makes the book, to me, so appealing.
Well, I would agree with you on that, but it also, the writing is delightful. And Sarah, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you. I hope we have a chance to talk again.
And sounds great.
Have you got another book coming?
Not this summer, but maybe sometime in the future.
Oh, thank you again. I really appreciate it. Sarah Lewis, our guest today, she is the author of a book. You really got to take a look at this. It's called Silent Sparks, The Wondrous World of Fireflies. And we barely touched the surface of what's in her book. Believe me, there's a whole lot more in there, and you're going to be delighted to look at it and read about it. It's wonderful. We have links on our Facebook page to her site. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page if you need to find where to find her. And boy, we got lots more in store here. Home improvement experts will be coming on to talk about sealing homes and reducing energy use. That's tomorrow. In the meantime, stay with us.